Hi, welcome to Nanny Navigates. I'm your host Nanny, otherwise known as Vaishnavi Venkatesh. I was so excited to be able to record and release this episode because this is actually the first Nanny Navigates episode where I spoke with another young person, a 13-year-old, as opposed to all of the adult interviews I've done with the past. And this is so exciting to me because this podcast, I mean, I guess the quote I always use is, it's a podcast made for young people by a young person. And what better and more relevant guest to have on the podcast than a fellow young person, another teen. So that's very, very exciting. I was right after the interview / conversation ended, I came right to my audio editing software just because I was so excited to be able to record the intros and outros, edit it, because I'm really excited to be able to share this conversation with you. I think it was one that was really insightful to me, and I definitely learned a lot from the conversation, and I hope you can too. In the episode, I spoke with the host, Sharjah, of Teen Feminist Podcast, and if you haven't already heard of the podcast, you should definitely check it out on Instagram because she's such an amazing and ambitious feminist in person, and her content is so amazing. We spoke about sort of what it means to be a feminist and activist, especially as a young person, and how we as feminists can educate other people on the privilege that we all have in some way or the other, and about advice that she and I would give to young feminists or people who are trying to learn what's the best way to advocate for what they're passionate about. So, without further ado, let's get right into it. So, first of all, this is so amazing to be able to meet in person, and thank you, but thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, of course.
So I wanted to start out with a little bit of, like, I guess, inspiration and how and when you started your podcast, Teen Feminist Podcast, and why you did it. And also outside of the podcast, what are some things you like to do for fun, some hobbies?
Okay, so I'll answer the first question first. So if you guys do not know, my name is Sharjah. I use she, they pronouns. I started this podcast. So it's a technicality kind of thing. So I started it in last year, 2020, October 9th. I know exactly the date. But it wasn't like on platforms. It was just like a thing on a website with my friends. And it was more of like a school podcast because I wanted to spread awareness, make a difference. And it was kind of like a school project. But then now it's something that I do as my job, I guess, or just like something for fun, my hobby. So I started it technically in October, but I would say that I uploaded it and I started making it on Anchor in January, but then really got involved with the social media aspect February 1st, 2021. So I think I've been technically growing the podcast fan base and all of that since February 1st. I started it, as I told you before, first as a school project, and now to the extent of trying to help people realize their inner feminist, their inner moxie, I think. You can listen to that episode if you want.
Hi, cut to editing me here from the future from this interview. Check out that episode, that moxie episode she was talking about. It's really great. Okay, back to the interview.
But I really started this podcast to spread awareness of everything that I'm passionate about, from LGBTQIA+ rights to feminism, and not just white feminism, but intersectional feminism relating to Black Lives Matter and racial injustice and everything else that's happening. Like, I have an episode airing soon in a couple weeks all about like world topics, like the Indigenous bodies being found and how that's affecting us, or like Canada Day and why we shouldn't celebrate that, or 4th of July, for example, we're celebrating independence only for the straight white man, you know? So it's like, I talk about a wide range of things. This week's episode is about Free Britney, as it's a really big thing that's happening right now. But I think most of today's are the podcast, and it's about feminism, realizing how to become a feminist, educating yourself with like a teen helping you educate yourself, I guess. Yeah. What was the other question?
Oh, I was just going to ask, like, what are some of your hobbies and things you like to do outside of podcasting and things related to that?
Yeah, well, I personally think it kind of really consumed my world because I was online most of last year and I just didn't have anything to do. So it was just like school and podcasting. But I started to read a lot. Like this summer, I have a plan to read 10 books. I think I'm on like the fourth book now. This really good book I'm reading, Clap When You Land. It's a really good book. And a school book I have to read for next year, of course. But I also took up, a business. It's not like really, it's in the making, I guess. I'm trying to restart it this summer, but it's a feminist business. It's not like a branch of the podcast, but it's a feminist business where I release a lot of feminist stickers and artwork, all about things that I'm passionate about. Most of my hobbies, I would say, relate to feminism. Like I'm trying to do a lot of community service this summer because I think like there's this place by my house called the Peace Cafe, and there's also this community center that I can help spread awareness of important topics related to racial injustice, which I really want to do this summer. I'm also planning on making a branch of the podcast. I know it's not like podcast, that's like a blog too, and hiring help, as like next year is going to be a little bit more challenging for me because everything is kind of changing, you know.
Right.
But I think most of my hobbies relate to feminism and relate to my passions, I guess. I also like to hang out at the pool because it's summer. You gotta just like embrace what's happening and just move on. We all are getting out of COVID. COVID is not officially over, but it's getting there, and we need to just make the most of the time we have, especially knowing the fact that literally this is a pandemic that's killing people. So just like make the most of what you have, what you can do, and yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's so amazing that you ended with hang out at the pool, because like someone like you, so interested and so involved in feminism and a possible blog, business, podcast, and like the marketing and like keeping up with the fan base that comes with that, to be able to have like that time to yourself, because it is summer and there's a lot of things to celebrate, I think, especially this summer, is amazing. So
I love doing a lot of things that just benefit me. I think like people may at first when they meet me be like, she's total feminist, she's all like, she, you know, she has her like stuff together, but really it took me a long time to get to this point. During COVID, I really started to self-examine myself, my own biases, what I'm passionate about, and feminism in total. But for years, my mom was like a total feminist, obviously. Mm-hmm. I got all that from her. She read every book out there, you know, all that. She would try to educate me on this stuff. But for so many years, I just pushed it aside. I didn't really care. I was just like, live life to the fullest, you know? I didn't really make that part of myself a reality until COVID. But I think because of that, I have so much to learn, and I'm so grateful because of that, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And I think like a couple of like side things. I take French, but I really want to learn Spanish. And then I also am like beginner intermediate-ish in ASL.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I think I definitely agree with what you're saying about how COVID really, the pandemic really allowed us to all like take a step back from our lives and sort of reassess what was going on, what we're actually passionate about, cut out things in our life that aren't bringing us the joy and the excitement that we want. And I think sort of reevaluate our priorities. So I can definitely relate to that.
I totally think like it's hard because, you know, they've been saying how COVID really affected people in a different way. I think personally, COVID made me very antisocial. I used to be a very social person. I lost a lot of friends because of COVID and because of being like one of the only out of like five people online while everybody was in school this year, kind of also benefited to being antisocial. But I think that also helped me examine my priorities and what I want to do with my life, you know. But I think, Yeah, COVID affected all of us in a very unique way, but it's summer that's helping us get back to who we were.
Yeah,
or definitely. New way of living, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So you, when you were sort of introducing yourself, you did mention a lot how your podcast tries to help people unlock and help find their inner feminism. And you talked about intersectional feminism. And feminism, including people of color, queer people, trans women. So how does your podcast and how can feminists of all ages, all different types of feminists, create a space in feminism that has equal space for everyone, I guess?
Yeah, totally. So I think personally, when you look at the definition of feminism, you first really see advocating for women's rights. I guess that's like the brief, I guess, definition of feminism. But it's so much more than that. And I thought feminism was just like everything at first, but then I realized that definition is basically what the word feminist means, until I realized there's also things called intersectional feminism. And if you don't know what that means, it basically means it's every problem a woman face, including like your the color of your skin, including your sexuality, your gender, all of that is feminism. We should all focus on that. And I think personally, I did an episode just with another account a couple of days ago about how you can become an activist. And I think that's a good one to listen to, by the way. But I think that kind of shows the fact that I guess the podcast really is about, I think this really shows that the podcast is about everything that's happening and facing Gen Z, because I try to talk about everything I can with the limited amount of time I have when that happens. I try to talk about everything that's new coming up and still past things to talk about, because everything is important. What was happening with Palestine was super important. Everybody needed to know about that. Mm-hmm. Or what was happening with India, or still is happening with India, by the way, and all these things that we need to know about. So I think the podcast really tries to not unlock your feminism, because everybody has feminism. It's just like, you know, it tries to show you that we all have privilege in some way. And obviously we can't save the world, we can't end world hunger, but by educating ourselves and spreading awareness, signing petitions, because seriously, signing petitions take 5 seconds. Get an email, don't just discard it, just open it, do it, and move on. Like, not just move on, but like, think about it, reflect. But the point is, it's just, I think the podcast really is about showing you what you can do as a teen, because people underestimate teens so much. They think we can't do anything. They think that we have no like mind of our own. And I can name 10 teens off the top of my tongue who have made a difference, who have changed the world better than politicians have in 10 years. Politicians are all about talk. Our generation is supposed to be the generation that saved this planet physically and mentally. And I thought that a podcast like this about intersectional feminism would be a way to get that started. And I personally, my biggest joy about this podcast, even though I can make money off of it, is the fact that I get to hear those comments. They're like, oh my God, you changed my life, or you helped me educate myself about what's happening with Brittany or something. That just is the best part of being a podcaster. Those comments that make your day, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And what you were saying about your podcast educating people and making people realize that they have privilege, and then making people realize that they don't have to single-handedly solve a huge problem like world hunger or racism or anything like that, but that they themselves can make a difference no matter how small it is. Yeah. And I think that's something especially important for teens to know, that like even a young person can make a huge difference.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be social activism. Like my mom, she lived in the generation where there was no phones, you know. She still thinks that life isn't really online, but in our generation, everything really is online. Like, just to be real with everybody, it is. And obviously, that's not the only way you can help and become an activist and a feminist. It's just the easiest way for our generation, especially during COVID. Like, I guess before COVID, probably online wasn't such a big deal. But, like, everybody that's probably a teen that has a phone and Instagram checks it at least once a day. And that's just, like, to be real. So, you know, I think it mostly is really important to, in any way possible, no matter how big your platform is, or, you know, just even talk to friends, like even talk to friends, educate them. I have a couple of friends that a couple of days ago did not understand what male privilege was. And that was my pleasure to explain to my two male friends about what that means. So they're aware of what they have compared to a woman or a woman of color, a woman who's trans, et cetera, you know, we all have privilege. I have privilege to the fact that I'm able-bodied. I don't have to worry about getting access to different places or all of that, you know? So it's just, we all have privilege in different ways, and we have to examine that privilege and use it to make a space for people part of those communities, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's so important. I wanted to touch back on what you were saying earlier about how the easiest way for a teen to connect is through social media. In fact, I've been talking about this on my podcast and my platforms, but I originally didn't have Instagram until like maybe 1-2 months ago. And I've also started the podcast in quarantine, May 2020, I believe. But this whole time I hadn't had Instagram, and I had like a blog on my website where I'd been giving updates about episodes, things like that. But then I made this stunning realization, which is that teens use social media. Like, that's the ease. I was noticing, like, you know how Anchor has like breakdowns for age, right? I was noticing my top age was like 65 and above. And I was like, this is great, but this is not exactly who I want to be getting my stuff out to, right? So then I started Instagram, and now like my 0 to 17 range has shot up. Like, okay, great. So now I'm actually reaching teens, like reaching young people that I want to be reaching out to.
Hey, it's editing me from the future again. Shout out to Instagram at Nanny Navigates. Go check that out if you haven't already. Okay, once again, back to the conversation.
Yeah, I think that, like, obviously if you don't have social media, that is totally fine. Like, it's actually reducing your like social media print in the future.
Right.
True. Okay, you have to be careful what you post on social media. I think, like, one day, like, a couple of days ago, I actually went out into the real world and handed out some flyers with the podcast. And I think that made a difference, too. I think people started to look at them in different popular places. So, yeah, obviously, you don't need social media to have a podcast. But it is beneficial to spreading your message, your goal, resharing resources, et cetera, et cetera. It's just the easiest way for our generation. We don't know what life is without a phone, really, or without just something to be able to share our message. And it does get out to a lot of people, you know. I personally think my podcast has been really up there because of social media and making reels or just making educational resources, people to share, all of that. But I think it's not just about social media. It's about how much you're willing to put into this project or to your passion about something that's either affecting you or not affecting you. Gun violence may not be affecting you, but you're really passionate about that. If you're willing to put in the time, the effort, and light of day into that topic, you can do it with a platform or not. That's facts.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. I think like that.
Like Greta Thunberg is a prime example. I don't think she used social media to spread her message, but because she got enough people to realize this cause is super important and the environment's important, she made a difference.
Next up, I asked Sharjah about what she thinks the most important thing for a young activist, a young feminist, is to keep in mind, her advice. So for all of that and more, stay tuned.
And I wanted to touch a bit more about like what it means to be a young person as a feminist or activist. What would you say is the most important thing or the most important piece of advice for a young feminist/activist to keep in mind?
So I have two, actually. First, you can't win them all. That's facts. And you can't get angry. I know, like, this is super hard. It's really hard. And I'm even trying this myself. I think I've been, like, in my personal experience, I've been labeled as the angry woman, like, a lot of times, or the angry feminist, you know, or, like, the only thing part of my personality is being an activist and telling people what they're doing wrong. And I don't want that label. Like, feminist, yes, but just the angry person or someone telling them or examining someone else's behavior, you can't do that. You have to show them what they're doing is wrong, but in a calm tone that gets the message across. If you're yelling at them, from personal experience, it will not make any difference but them hating you. And, like, obviously, if you have a racist friend, you gotta call them out. You can't just be a bystander. I'm not telling you to be a bystander. I'm telling you, you have to do it in the right approach. You can't just be like, you're racist, because people don't respond to those kind of things. You have to say it in a calm tone and why it's affecting you, why what you're saying is wrong, and why you need to stop, you know? And I think that's the biggest thing I've examined from my couple of months and really focusing on activism this year is you gotta connect with them and show them what they're doing wrong. You can't just yell at them and expect them to change their behavior, because it's a human quality. You know, we all don't want to be told what's wrong, what's not, you know? So as a young activist, I personally think first, always be yourself. Do not change, like, the message. I think it's like something probably you've ever heard before, like, you're not an activist if you have a racist boyfriend or something, or, you know, like that. Just don't change for anybody, first of all. But also, you have to have the right approach spreading your message. And I'm still learning, and I don't have any really good results yet, but just try to have the best outlook and know that that person that, for example, is making a racist comment or a homophobic joke isn't, I guess, a racist, you know, or, like, isn't a homophobe, homophobic. It's just they have homophobic behavior, and you have to, it's like, it's internal. It's, we all have internal biases that were put in place because of, I guess, family members, first of all, and last generations, and being told that this is not the right way of living, blah, 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 all of that. So you can't judge them for that. It's seriously, we all have that. You have to be, they just have to be able and willing to break apart from that, you know?
Right.
Discover their own path. Because I think a lot of people, for example, who are actually gay, for example, or are trans, first hated out trans people, or first hated out gay people and made fun of them. But it's just because of the way they were raised. And as young people, that's our job. Like, our job is to have all of this, like, that everybody is loved and everybody should be loved, no matter their skin color, their sexual orientation, how able they are, et cetera, et cetera. That's our job. Our job is to be the generation that changes that for future generations, so they're not growing up with internal biases towards certain types of people. So I think overall, the most important thing is to love everybody and to try and make a change, but not by just going off on people, I guess. Like,
right.
Anger fuels the movement. That's facts. But anger at people doesn't fuel anything. It just makes it not spread a message. I don't know if that makes sense.
It makes sense. The fact that you're talking about, like, educating people, I think, from a place of empathy and understanding of how they may have gotten these beliefs, and then maybe they were told, or whether that was, like, personally, with, like, what you were saying, within a family or previous generations, or whether it was institutionally, the country they live in, this community, the society they live in. I think educating people, like your and my podcast or platforms, educating people from a place of empathy is so much more beneficial and really allows people to sort of take a step back from their beliefs or whoever taught them these beliefs. And I think it's so much more efficient to sort of get them to see, like a different perspective. So like being able to put each other in each other's shoes, I think that's is so important.
Very important thing. You have to also put them in that. I was gonna put that out. You have to put yourself in their shoes too, mm-hmm. and how they're thinking. And like my mom has been to, like, I sometimes went off with some of my classmates because of like a homophobic joke, like that's so gay, or you know, certain biases. But my mom, when I come home telling her about it, it's like you have to put yourself in their shoes and think about what they think isn't wrong, but what you know is wrong. You know, it's just like you gotta be empathetic, and that's a very big point about being a feminist, the certain levels.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. And I think like what you were saying about that experience you just had, like how your mom said, and that kind of ties back to like one of your two main points, like your two main pieces of advice for young feminists to know, is that you can't win them all, and especially not with the kind of approach that, like, I guess getting angry at the person for their beliefs or labeling them as homophobic or racist or something like that, rather than say that they have these beliefs ingrained in them for whatever reason, be it personally or institutionally, yeah. and then kind of work, like you were saying, work from a place of empathy, put yourself in their shoes and let them put themselves in your shoes. I think that's the most important thing. All right. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. I love your podcast. I think you as a person are very informative, and I am so thankful to be on your podcast.
Yeah, thank you. You too. I think the amount of work and the amount of ambition and passion and effort you're putting into your podcast, Instagram, social media is really outstanding. And also, good luck with expanding your team. I know you were you put applications out, so good luck with that. That sounds really exciting.
I'm really, hopefully we're able to get, because I'm going, next year is really hectic, applying to different schools, plus like I have this thing where I have to do a community project, and I have to do this and that, so it just, I need some help, and I'm willing to accept that, even though I am a perfectionist, you know, so I'm just excited to expand the team and expand our horizons, you know.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Nanny Navigates. I really enjoyed speaking with Sharjah about feminism, our podcast, and what that means as a young person, and how we as young activists can change the way we see feminism, activism, and the world. Make sure to check out Teen Feminist Podcast and Sharjah on Instagram and her podcast, because it is truly amazing if you want to hear even more about topics that we talked about in this episode. Also, check out Nanny Navigates on Instagram, that's at Nanny Navigates, for the latest update, content, interactive stories and posts, and a behind the scenes of this very episode into fruition, which will be posted there on Instagram, so check that out. Also, check out nannynavigates.com for even more information and backstory behind the podcast, Nanny, and everything related to that. So check out nannynavigates.com as well. Thank you all so much for listening, and until next time, keep exploring.